It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away.
One of the most, or can be one of the most profound experiences in a teenager's life, in an adolescent's life. You could have the opportunity to go 6 times to camp as a teenager, grade 7 to 12. There's junior high camp, there's senior high camp. Some of you guys got to know what every youth pastor loves about teens. They keep us young. That was supposed to be a funny. That may be one of them. As we get older, we like to think we're still 15, 16, 17, 18. But no, one of the things for me about teenagers is they're in that transitional period of time. Still child, but moving into adulthood. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means they have not yet developed their walls. I believe that teenagers have the ability a lot easier to be raw, or what I like to call raw. Just a quick story. So every year, Pastor and I go to, Pastor's Prayer Retreat. I almost forgot it. And one of the things we do there, I don't think I'm breaking any confidences, just double checking. One of the things we do there is we get a chair. I got all these pastors. We have the opportunity to sit in the center of a circle in the chair. We have the opportunity and the ability to just be raw with one another, to share from the depths of our souls, to share that this is what's going on. This is what you can pray for me about. Teenagers, they have this ability to be raw. I have to tell you, this year, my cabin was raw. I never know what to, I don't go to camp expecting anything except God's presence, because you never know with teenagers. The teens went, not just our teens, when I say teens, I mean our district teens. The teens went to camp in brokenness. They carried to camp their struggles. They arrived at camp as broken. And then they have this amazing week with God. Changed, transformed. They left. They arrived broken, they left changed and transformed. Some of them may not be able to articulate the language, but I guarantee you, if you could be in some of our worship services, if you could have been there and seen the way the Holy Spirit was alive and well and moving, I seriously believe that one night I was just like, I was ready for it. I thought, here we go. Here comes revival. God's breaking in and out in new and fresh ways. Our theme this year was peculiar. You can't miss it. You can't miss this shirt here with peculiar. This is my shirt. This is as Pastor Jay. He ordered 2 big boy shirts for him and for myself. So there you go. They were the only 2. So I knew when we handed out shirts, one of them that was sitting on the table was mine, because there's only 2 of us that got that size. All right. Peculiar. What does it mean to be a peculiar people? What does it mean to be a peculiar teenager? What does it mean? Peculiar. Peculiar. I don't know if you want to say it that way. Nate, next slide. That's peculiar, right? Was that like a turtle sandwich? Nate, go back. What was that? I know, I put the slideshow together. Can you go back? Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it's turtle. And a cheese, a CPS cheese. I think the burger's in there too. That's peculiar. Next slide, Nate. That's peculiar. Emily said to me, "We have a watermelon over there that Shane you could have wore." I was like, "No." Next slide. That's peculiar. Ooh, the platypus. That's peculiar. Peculiar creature of God. Next one's really peculiar. He's very peculiar. Wow. Next group might even be more peculiar. There you go. I don't know who captured that image, but if you can't tell, that's our Milky Way. And that's the cross. Peculiar. Next slide, neat. Peculiar means, the first definition is strange, odd, unusual. Number two, belonging exclusively to, distinctive. Are we not a peculiar people? Are we strange? Are we odd? Belonging exclusively to, distinctive. God set his people apart. Yeah? Are you a peculiar person? I'm a peculiar person. I know, you don't have to tell me. No, but in all seriousness, the week of teen camp, we really focused in with the teens. What does it mean to be a peculiar person? And going more deep, there was things that we wanted to, I don't want to use the word attack, but there were things that we wanted to address with the teenagers. Not me, I wasn't in the planning process, but there were things that we are aware of as youth pastors, as youth leaders. Well, it's not just that particular age that's having issues with it. But we really honed in on some different things. That culture that the world wants us to know is okay, wants to tell us that it's okay. And so we really narrowed in on that with our teens. Nate, what's the next slide? The screw tape letters. Who has heard of the screw tape letters? Yeah? Neil and Alice have. Some other people. I love C.S. Lewis. You guys, if you don't know that about me, you just know that now. I love C.S. Lewis. His works, like, he takes the Bible, it makes me understand it. Like, not that I don't understand the Bible, but his use of imagery, his use of allegory, his use of all these different things, it's just like, wow. If I could have been in a room, if I could have been alive when C.S. Lewis was alive, I'm like, he's probably one person. I know some people are like, oh, I gotta meet this person. I would have been like, I need to go meet this dude. He's my man. But let me tell you about Screwtape Letters. What Lewis is trying to do with Screwtape Letters is that he's following the person called Patient. You got Screwtape, you got Wormwood. And Screwtape is Wormwood's uncle. Screwtape is a demon. Wormwood is a demon in training. I know I might be getting a little, I'm paraphrasing here. Where's David? Come here, David. David's going to wear the sign me. As you look at that sign, that's me. That's you. Like, that's us. And for Screwtape Letters, for Screwtape, we were known as Patient, or Wormwood called the person Patient. And so all this was about is, and what I need to hone in on here is that C.S. Lewis is addressing spiritual warfare. What? Yeah. I don't know about, we have a mixed age in here. In an age of Harry Potter, in an age of, I don't know, Twilight, I don't know. Let's just go with Harry Potter. Grace is laughing at Twilight. In an age of Harry Potter, spiritual warfare, we get sensitized to things. And this is what Screwtape Letters is addressing. It's kind of like, so we have our little blip on planet Earth. And all throughout our life, we're either given in to the demons or we're given in to God. So, who wants to come up first? Abby, you're right there. Come on up. The teens are helping me out with something else today. So it might go as this, as Wormwood, the demon in training, is really working on this person. Really grind him down, and maybe he has an issue with pride. This is where we link Abby. Is that tight enough? And so he really works on that person. And in like ways you wouldn't, it's subtle. The enemy is subtle. Pride. Come on up. Wormwood, the enemy, this side. The devil knows our weaknesses. Maybe it's gossip. Don't worry, I'll let you go then. And so Wormwood, the apprentice, the demon in training, he works on patient or me in gossip. We have a problem with gossip. And unless it goes on and on and on. Brittany, bring yours up. And it grows, like different things grow into different things. I'm not saying that pride turns into hate, but that too tight? No, okay. But as the enemy works us, as Satan works us, things grow, especially if we're not doing what we need to do, taking care of me, it grows. Hannah, bring yours up. Fear. I know that person's afraid. I know what that person's afraid of. I'm gonna take their fears and I'm gonna attack them every day with them. I'm gonna make them so afraid that they're afraid to leave the house or they're afraid to go talk to somebody. Fear. I'm just imagining Screwtape letters and these letters back and forth between Uncle Screwtape and Wormwood, and Screwtape is giving Wormwood instructions and how to keep me, or in the book, patient, confused. Keep them occupied. Keep his thoughts occupied, not of God, but as long as he's not occupied on God, he's occupied on things of the world. Who's next? Lenny, you come up, or whichever one. Lie. Teens like lying, right? Some. And it grows, and it grows, and bring yours up. Worry. Yeah, no, I made some of them big. Chaz, Charlie, whoever else has a sign. Tyler, you have a sign, bud. Come on. Chaz, Britt. Everybody, whoever's doing it, come on. If you have a sign, come on. Over here, Grace. I did get permission from the teens. They knew they were being... Oh, the only one I didn't get permission from was Josh. Josh, do you mind if I zip-tie you?
I do. Put on your tie, or I'll break.
Yeah? And so, it's an awesome book. Goes on and on and on and on. And Wormwood is just, and he keeps on coming back to his uncle and, hey, you know, what about this? And it goes all through the person's life. You know, really from birth to death, there's this struggle, there's this battle. It's called spiritual warfare. It's called there's a heaven to be gained, there's a hell to be missed. Me. The enemy knows right where to get me. If I gossip, he's going to figure out some way to get me to gossip. If I have pride issues, there's going to be some way that he's going to build up to have that I'm prideful, or I hate, or I lie, or I'm dishonest, or I'm caught up on material things and being materialistic. Fear, worry, addiction, self-absorption. The enemy knows how to attack us. He knows how to get us. And again, it's not loud. It's not crazy. It's subtle. It's very subtle. He sneaks it in. If you pay attention to the language in Screwtape letters, you know, don't do it this way. Do it this way. It's subtle. Just as much as God knows what God is doing, the enemy knows what the enemy is doing and how to do it best, how to get us the best. But with the songs that we are singing today and with what we already know, the battle, the war, the whole thing, it's already won. The grave was empty. He is risen. That's what Easter's all about. We're not in Easter. We're past Easter. But The resurrected king is resurrecting me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Oh, we got to do this again. Yeah. I forgot a part. Oh, yeah. Real quick. David's like looking at me, Shane, I thought you were going to have me do something. What?
Can I feel my hand this
You
time?
Said tight, bud.
Oh, hey, calm down.
Okay, real quick. Nate, go into that next slide. David, I want you, you don't have to go too far because I think we'll get the point, but I want you to try and move down the middle aisle with everybody attached to you. Don't forget to turn around and come back. So I do this for a reason. Some of us are visual learners. We carry, this morning, Sunday worship, we bring things in with us. We don't have to. We know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I don't know if I need to say it every time because it's going to get exhaustive. I didn't cut you, did I, Lynn?
No.
Okay. The Lord, the resurrected Christ, breaks us free from these things. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, clean it up.
You guys can have a seat.
Oh, that left a mark.
Thank you for helping me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, in the Gospel of Luke here, it tells us about the death of Jesus. And all the Gospels, it does. But there are some things I want us to particularly pay attention to in the Gospel of Luke. I want to talk about the darkness. A lot of scholars believe different things, different ways to look at it. I got to find it. By this time, it was about noon, and the darkness fell across the whole land until about 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. And Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And those whose words breathe, and with those words he breathed his last breath. A lot of scholars about this darkness business, some want to say that it was creation participating in the event where Christ is about to die. Others say that this was the last attempt by the evil one to maybe get Jesus to change his mind. I want to say maybe it was kind of a mixture of everything. It was creation going dark for that dark hour. It was the evil one knowing that he was about to lose everything. And then there's this something else about the Gospel of Luke, distinct from all the other Gospels. Luke purposefully situates in there, before Jesus dies, he situates in there. I read it. And suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." He was not dead before the temple was torn. Not the temple, the curtain was torn. Not dead. Well, what does this mean? You see, the temple, if you don't know, in the temple, there was only one individual every so often that was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, and that was divided by the temple. And so the Holy of Holies, the holy place, is where God and the glory of God was. Well, before Jesus dies, the temple curtain is torn. Next slide, Nate. I like that picture. Torn curtain. The temple curtain was torn, and the Spirit of God was set loose. That's what it was. That's what it says in the Greek. And the Spirit of God is set loose. What? Where did it go? Where'd the Spirit of God go? If the Spirit of God is no longer in the temple, where is he? You see, if people would, it was a big thing year round. Not year round, but they would come once a year. They'd come from the farthest distant places. They'd come to the temple. Why? Because God was at the temple. Well, now what happens? The curtain's torn. In the Greek, the Gospel of Luke, the Spirit of God was set loose. There is now access to God through the work of Jesus on the cross. Amen. I got to tell you a story. This is a seminary story. So I worked at Nazarene Publishing House. And this is how I got the story. Up in the attic of seminary sits box upon box upon box of a particular book. It's called More Preachers, Better Preachers. So somebody called up Nazarene Publishing House from seminary and said, I'd like to order, by the way, I should say that this book was authored by one of our most recent retiree professors, Harold Razor. And so somebody called up, somebody at Publishing House made an error. There was a misunderstanding. There was a big misunderstanding. probably like, I don't know, instead of ordering 1,000 More Preacher, Better Preachers, they ordered 10,000 More Preachers, Better Preachers. And so now, there's box upon box upon box of these books up in the attic of the seminary. And so, as a seminarian, they're just, they're still, this happened a while ago too, they're still trying to get rid of these books. Well, that's a misunderstanding. And we're good, you know, misunderstandings, that's okay, that's good. We get over that relatively easy. Oh, we're still in the set loose slides. I like that slide too. What's the next one, Nate? Delusion. Let me run down the definition of delusion for you all, because this is really important today. Delusion. I give you both definitions. Something that is falsely or delusively believed or propagated under the delusion that they will finish on schedule. Letter B, psychology, in psychology terms, a persistent falsehood, psychotic belief regarding the self or persons or object outside the self that is maintained despite indisputable evidence to the contrary, the delusion that someone was out to hurt him. So I give you all that, but I really want to focus in on number two. The act of tricking or deceiving someone. The state of being deluded. What does that sound like, Grace? We were just talking about it up here. The great deceiver. The great deluder. Right? C.S. Lewis gives us a masterful piece of spiritual warfare. And maybe the biggest piece of spiritual warfare is delusion. Satan knows how to delude us. The act of tricking or deceiving someone. We're able to be tricked. We're able to be deceived. That's scary. Spiritual warfare. How easily are you able to be deceived? Are you on guard? On guard, Tom. You ever the jousting thing? Can we talk for a moment about the greatest delusion? What? Lena Susan's looking over at me like, what are you talking about? The greatest delusion. The greatest delusion. So we live in America, right? Nowhere else, not the United States of America. I'm not going political here, I promise. From birth, we are brought up in a particular way. We are formed in a particular way. We are fashioned in a particular way. We are led to believe particular things as an American people. I really struggle with this. And I know that I'm not the first one to come up with this, but We know what's wrong with the American church in the United States today. We're delusional. We've been deceived. The enemy is so subtle, he knows how to get us from birth to death here in the United States. We're formed, we're fashioned, we're brought up to believe that it's about me. Life is about me. Life is about what I can get. Life is about what you can do for me. What brand new fancy car can I get? I don't like that person, so I'm going to do this to them. It's subtle. The enemy knows how to slip it in. If it's not working this way, do it this way. You can almost imagine, again, great imagery from C.S. Lewis. Try this. We'll try this. By the way, there's a great ending. Great ending. Masterful ending. You know the ending. It's C.S. Lewis. It's got to be a good ending. We're formed, we're fashioned, we're brought up from birth. And really, original sin, born as a baby, it's all about me. You're really helpless as a baby. You need people to care for you. You're vulnerable. But from birth to death, it's about me. That's why I have this big me sign. I could have put patient. Belief is about me. What can be done for me? How can I get me? How can I get this for me? You know, I'm out there throughout the week and going to different places, and it's a lot of ways people are trying to get money. You know, our country, you know, we're supposed to, the big thing is, oh, I got to figure out some way to get wealthy. The American dream. And I'm not knocking it. But I'm saying, well, what if it's being used for evil purposes? I don't think all that stuff is bad. Well, some of the stuff is really bad. But used for evil purposes and to draw us in. It's subtle and it can be over time. The enemy's patient. Here's the big hook today. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Maybe you have. I know the teens have. It's not about us. It's not about us. Life is never about us. Here we go, church. Buckle your seatbelts. It's not about us. This life is about what God wants to do through us. It's why the Spirit of God was set loose. If God didn't want it to be what he wants to do through us, I don't think he would have gifted the Holy Spirit. It's not about us. It's about the triune God wants to do through us. Amazing, wonderful, powerful things. We are now that holy place, the Holy of Holies. We are. If Christ is yours, if God's on the throne of your heart, you are the holy place. The Spirit of God was set loose within you. Are you throwing wood on the fire? Question to ponder. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's what God wants to do through us. Well, Pastor Shane, what does it look like? What does it look like for the Spirit to be in me? I got an answer for that too. Listen to these words from Acts chapter 2. Peter had just gotten done preaching. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a lifetime, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day were about 3,000. And if we're going to use the same thing we use for the feeding of the 5,000, and it's just men, just imagine how many women and children were there. And then going on, And here's where we really need to drill down. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together, I'm going to say church, at church every day. Met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. What happens when the Spirit of God is set loose within you? What happens? God-sized things happen, right? First converts, they were baptized. They were devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowshiped with one another. They participated in the Lord's Supper together. They prayed. We have to know. The Spirit within us, Spirit of God needs fed, needs that communication with God, needs filled with His Word. It needs participation and fellowship with other believers, the church. It needs the sacraments of the church. Life among the believers, they were filled with awe and wonder. They were doing things that Jesus was doing. What? Yeah. They sure were. Don't look at me. It's right there in the Bible. They were filled with awe and wonder. There was a sense of togetherness. The church together. There were cliques. There wasn't this group and that group. The church was one. They sold their possessions and goods and distributed the proceeds to all, as any had need. One of my favorites. They ate food with glad and generous hearts. We love gathering around the table. There's this table. Then there's our table in our dining room. We gather together and share the common meal together with glad and generous hearts. Hospitality. Here's one that's become recently really, 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 really important to me. God added to their number daily. Well, what does that mean? They witnessed. I got a quick story. This past Wednesday, I got the funniest look from Pastor Wayne. I went to him and I said, hey, guess what? What? I just ordered 1,000 books. His eyebrows went up, his eyes got really big. He's like, you did what? I was like, oh, don't worry, they're free. He's like, what do you mean? I went in. I was cleaning, and I came across this thing that Rachel put in my office a while ago, and it's called a life book. Teens don't know it yet, but there's 1,000 plus teenagers, and just Mifflinburg School District alone in grades 7 to 12, 1,000 plus, give or take. I plugged in our youth group size, and the website spit out, oh, you need 1,000 life books. Okay. Well, we're going to be on a mission. These life books are really awesome. They're really cool. And we're going to be sending them out. And we're going to be witnessing. Because while what goes on inside here is important, this message, the gospel in here, needs to be out there. It needs to be shared. It's not meant just for us who catch on to it and we get in our holy huddle and that's it. God added to their number daily. God added to their number daily. Spirit of God, set loose in the people of God. What does that mean for you? Is the Spirit set loose in you? Nate, what's that next slide? Yeah, let's play that video.
In the presence of your Lord, tonight, reborn, changed, transformed, claiming a new life in Christ. Listen, it's great to get on your knees and pour yourself out and ask for His mercy, His wisdom, His guidance, His leadership. Start every day that way, on your knees before the King, asking Him. But I promise you, when you pour it out, the King's going to look at you and say, stay. upright state of victory that I've given you. You don't leave here addicted to pornography. You don't leave here an addict. You don't leave here unworthy. You don't leave here a liar. You don't leave here a thief. You don't leave here dirty, unwanted, unloved. You leave here in victory.
That was just a snippet. I can't remember which night it was, but that was teen camp. It was Wednesday? Gordon Grace, that was Wednesday. I don't know if you guys would remember that. This morning, I hope you paid attention to the words that we sung. God did not set loose his spirit for the people of God for us to be spectators. We're not up in the grandstands watching what's going on down the field. God says God wants us involved. God wants us going to the people who need the gospel. God wants us to love. God wants us to have the church, the people of God, to have a sense of togetherness. There's just something about. And I don't know if you've had the opportunity to meet our new district superintendent. There's just something about being around people who are all in, who are totally and completely and utterly filled with the Spirit of God. I described to someone, I can't remember who right now, but they asked me, oh, what'd you think of our new DS? You know what I said? I said he uses Jesus. I know that word is kind of crazy, but he uses Jesus. The Spirit of God fills us and sets us on fire. I know Pastor talked about that a little while ago. Where's your fire? Are you engaging in intercessory prayer? I've added to my exercise routine to go walk or try and jog down to the middle school and down and back. And in that routine, I've started praying as I pass houses. I start praying for the community and the people in these houses. Lord God, if they don't know you, every one of us, we drive past and within this community, toss up a prayer to God. We can all intercede, and we're all supposed to intercede. Are you loving? Are you engaging? Are you asking, how can I better serve Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, or Penns Creek, or Middleburg, or how can we share God's love? God's looking for people who are all in, who with sincere hearts say, God, it's not about me, but it's about what you want to do through me. And I believe that if the Spirit of God is within me, God, you want to do great and marvelous and wonderful things through me. Is it that I'm going to be Billy Graham? No. But God has a plan for each and every one of us. We shouldn't fear sharing our stories of how God has worked in our lives. We shouldn't be afraid to go talk to our friends at work. We shouldn't be afraid to go tell a family member about God's love. God's looking for people who are all in. Sincere hearts say, God, it's not about me, it's about what you want to do through me. And through the people of God, his church, what does he want to do? Our songs this morning, and just a couple of them. First one was Reckless Love. You heard the music, the words, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God chases me down. Fights till I'm found. Leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, God, you give yourself away. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down, coming after me. And from resurrecting from the ashes of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name, I come alive to declare your victory. By your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King resurrects us, wants to make us new. living creatures, wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Are you all in? Maybe you are. Maybe you aren't. Sean, are you prepared with that song or no? No? I don't want to set a fire. Okay, it's all right. We had this awesome week at camp. You're good. No worries. We had this awesome week at camp. We're a peculiar people. The people of God are a peculiar people. Set apart. It's not about us. It's never been about us, though. Spiritual warfare, which don't forget, he wants us to believe it's about us. The enemy's very subtle, but it's about what God wants to do through us. God's no longer in the temple, no longer in the Holy of Holies. If you're a believer, God's on the throne of your heart. You are that holy place, each and every one of us. And when you build a fire, you have to keep the fire going, you have to keep feeding it. Feed your faith. Feed the Spirit of God within you. I mean, the Spirit of God doesn't need fed, but you do. With his word, with prayer. Prayer is an everyday thing. And his word is an everyday thing. It's not about us. It's about the glory of God and what he wants to do through us. Let's pray. Lord God, I am so thankful that the resurrected King is resurrecting me. Lord God, I'm so thankful for camp. Though I never got to attend as a teenager, I get to attend as a youth pastor, Lord God, and I couldn't be blessed more. Lord God, help us. Help your people. Help us, Lord, to be aware of how and where the enemy's trying to trick us up, even if it's subtly, Lord God, and help us cling to the cross and cling to your name, Lord God, that we can leave here victorious. We leave here in victory. Our sin doesn't define us. We're washed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord God, I just pray that if anyone in here is struggling with anything or knows that they have sin in their life, Lord God, that they give it over to you, that they leave here, this place, this moment, right now, they leave here in victory. Lord God, and I also pray that for your people, for your church, that you set a fire deep down within our hearts, Lord God. Your Holy Spirit set us on fire, Lord. We are your people. Help us, Lord God. We are open. We acknowledge here, today, now, that it's not about us, but it's about what you want to do through us. We love you. We praise you, Lord God, for who you are, for what you do in our lives, for the people you've surrounded us with, for the blessings you pour out, even when we're unaware. We love you. We praise you, Lord God. Send us now in your grace. May we be your people in this hurting, broken world, Lord God. Love you. We praise you. And I pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.